The phone lines are open today on the Line of Fire, and I want to declare to you plainly, all lives matter.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's a very sober day today in America. It's a very sobering week here in America. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to the Line of Fire. We want to give you hope. We want to give you clarity. We want to give you courage to honor the Lord and do the right thing. Today on the Line of Fire, to get in the conversation, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Now, Friday, as you've got questions, we've got answers where you can call and ask me about anything under the sun and any area of expertise I have. And I do hope to get to a number of your calls today and to respond to your questions. But first, we need to bring a Christian perspective to what's happening in the world and society today. And I want to hear from you. I want to get your perspective as well. So the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. But give me a moment to lay out what's on my heart, and then you can respond. Last night, Nancy and I finished a major editing project and the new book that we've written together on breaking the stronghold of food. And then I went to do some other writing, wrote an article that originally was going to come out today, but we'll put it out over the weekend about charges that Donald Trump is an anti-Semite. And then I was going to read the Word and then kind of chill and go to sleep. It was 1:40 in the morning. I'm a late night person, and I had not been following the news. And I went to check something on the stream where I often write and contribute, stream.org, and to my absolute shock, saw the news from Dallas about the sniper attack, ultimately killing 5 police officers and wounding 7 others. And an absolute intent to kill police. Well, I wrote an article. I thought I've got to get word out and to share my heart. So I wrote an article called All Lives Matter, because of course we saw headlines earlier in the week, Black Lives Matter, with the police killing of 2 black men, one in Louisiana, one in Minnesota. Was this cold-blooded? Was it unprovoked? Was it unnecessary? Again, stirring up deep emotions in the African-American community around America. And when I posted the video from Minnesota, the woman, oddly, but narrating what's happening as her boyfriend bleeds to death next to her after being shot by a police officer, whom I believe was Hispanic, the police officer shot, if I'm correct. When I say oddly, just the apparent calmness with which she's narrating, some psychologists say it was shock. But I posted that on Facebook, said this is just awful. And I noticed some of my black friends on Facebook saying, I'm so glad you're posting this. In other words, that white Christians don't seem to realize how horrific this is. I'm glad you posted it. You know, that's what they were saying. And then, of course, the intentional murder of policemen by blacks last night. And the organizers of the Black Lives Matter protest were mortified by what happened. Obviously, the last thing in their mind was that they wanted snipers to start shooting police officers. But the question is, what do we do right now? What do we do? We are in a situation of massive social unrest, of potential racial civil war, of things getting hellishly ugly. I mean, it's horrific where things are right now. What do we do? What we have to do is determine, first and foremost, as believers and as leaders in the body, to hear one another out, excuse me, and for each side to sit down, whatever the different sides' perspectives are, and to say, please share your perspective. Tell me how you view the events that have happened. Please tell me your perspective. Here's my perspective. Where are we missing each other? Where are we misunderstanding the issues? Where are we missing out on justice?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, what's your take? What's your viewpoint? 866-348-7884. Before I take your questions on anything you want to ask me, morally, culturally, scripturally, or how we approach the deep divide we're facing in our society today, I asked this question on Twitter. Who or what is primarily responsible for today's racial tensions? Who or what is primarily responsible for today's racial tensions? And on Twitter, I could only give four choices. So I put white police brutality, the Obama administration, Black Lives Matter, or systemic USA racism. Who or what is primarily responsible for today's racial tensions? What do you think? Again, the four choices I put on Twitter: white police brutality, the Obama administration, Black Lives Matter, or systemic USA racism. What do you think? What's your take? Here are the questions that I posed in my article, All Lives Matter. Again, you can read it by going to AskDrBrown.org and click on latest article. Here are the questions I posed there. Is it true that black males are discriminated against in the courts and are unfairly targeted by police? Is there still systemic racism in America, as many have argued? Conversely, is there hypocrisy in the Black Lives Matter movement, as prominent black athlete Ray Lewis has argued, since the vast majority of black deaths are at the hands of other blacks? Is it true that some police officers are trigger happy, especially when dealing with blacks, or do these officers have just cause to fear for their lives? What about the charge that there is only concern when there is white-on-black violence as opposed to black-on-white violence? Is there any truth to this? And what about each of us? Do we respond publicly only when someone of our own skin color or ethnicity or religion or affiliation suffers an apparent injustice? Or do we respond equally to all apparent injustices, whoever the victims might be? What biases lurk within our own souls? These are the questions that we must put on the table. Of course, we understand that no one is thinking, or very few are thinking, that a white policeman went to work the other day thinking to himself, I'm going to look for an opportunity to kill a black man. I'm going to look for that opportunity. Maybe someone thinks like that. Maybe someone actually believes that there are people out there that are doing that, but that is not the case. The case is, though, is there a disproportionate use of force against blacks? The question is, if it was a white person, would they be treated the same way? These are fair questions to ask. What about the courts? Are the courts fair? Are the courts even-handed? Or is there racism in the courts and sentences that are handed out, things like that? We have to ask the questions, don't we? We have to put them on the table. This is not out of trying to kiss up to one side or another. It's talking about justice. It would be one thing if the only ones protesting were criminals and hooligans and troublemakers. It's another thing when you have upstanding citizens and fine moms and dads and God-fearing people and believers saying, we have a problem. We need to look at that. At the same time, we need to look at all relevant issues here. And we need to say once again, as followers of Jesus, how can we model coming together? Because friends, this is not going to get better on its own. Look, you have a number of vicious cycles that take place. You have the vicious cycle of, say, for example, in Baltimore, where there seems to be no question that in zeal to convict cops of wrongdoing, they were wrongly brought to trial. That was a miscarriage of justice in the other direction. They were wrongly brought to trial, and now they're being exonerated. Well, the courts are no, in this case, they were wrongly brought to trial from everything we know thus far with the death of Freddie Gray. Especially, the first ones who were brought to trial in that case. So you have now, from what I've read in Baltimore, that you have the police force is shrinking somewhat and the homicide rate is rising. So how is that then helping anything? Ultimately, you have more blood shed and perhaps even more black blood shed. So we really need constructive dialogue as much as possible. And that means if I have a blind spot, if I have a bias, if I have a wrong attitude, a wrong perspective, then it needs to be challenged, however uncomfortable it is. But the same for you, for each of us. And right now, by the way, I'm not pointing fingers in any direction. Obviously, the video from Louisiana, was there any basis for shooting that man, held down, shooting him multiple times? From the video evidence, no. Again, I'm not a policeman. I wasn't there. What about Minnesota? Was it a matter of this man who, good track record, he's pulled over for the most minor violation, you know, a light, broken taillight, something like that. He ends up dead. Was it because he was in a largely white area, got profiled? Was that part of it? Or was it simply miscommunication that he was telling the officer he had a gun and the officer's telling him, keep your hands up? And somehow he thought he was supposed to produce ID and he was going for his ID and he gets shot. Was it that this officer, whom I, from a picture I saw earlier from his name, I think he's Hispanic, unless I'm getting the stories confused. That's what I saw earlier. So when you hear him screaming out, after he's shooting him, he's still holding the gun. He seems to be shaky. He said, I told him to keep his hands up. I told him to keep his hands off it. Was it miscommunication? Was it a matter of cold-blooded murder that he looked at the guy, said, get your ID. And when he reached, he said, I'm going to shoot this guy because he's black. We've got to get all the facts. The man's mother, the victim's mother, said that she'd always taught her kids, whatever the cops tell you, comply, 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 comply. And we have no indication that this man was a suspect or troublemaker or anything of the kind. So these are horrifically painful situations, and we need to get the facts out. Conversely, from everything we know, from the best evidence we have, there was no such thing as hands up, don't shoot with the killing of Michael Brown, my namesake, in St. Louis, and Ferguson last year. From everything I understand, what investigations have confirmed, eyewitnesses have confirmed, there was no such thing as hands up, don't shoot in that case. All right? So is that going to, in other words, if that's going to be the poster boy, the wrong poster boy, turn that around, has there been inflammatory rhetoric now that led to the intentional cold-blooded murder of policemen? At least one of the wounded was a black officer. Whether it's a transit officer or police officer, I'm not sure, but she was shot in the stomach and wounded. This, we know, must be denounced, renounced on every possible level. From my perspective, the statements from President Obama have not been helpful. From my perspective, the way he's weighed in has not been helpful and has not been constructive and further inflames tensions. From my perspective, all right? Now, when I asked on Twitter the question of who or what is primarily responsible for today's racial tensions, and I put down a list of four items: white police brutality, the Obama administration, Black Lives Matter, systemic USA racism. And I don't want to tell you the responses yet because I don't want to prejudice your call. But I also put out another question to help me sort out my polling data. Please tell me if you are white, black, Hispanic, other. So 77% responding said they're white, 7% black, 11% Hispanic, 5% other. Well, that would play into factoring in the response to my question. But what we've got to do, as people who are one in Jesus, as people whose unity far transcends any differences between us, what we need to do is be sure that we're having conversations. Be sure to say we must work together against violence and injustice wherever it appears, whatever color it is, and whoever the victims are. We are committed to working together for justice and working together against violence. And hopefully, every God-fearing citizen Every God-fearing policeman would say, absolutely, that is our heart as well. Can we model that for the world to see? Can we come together, not in anger, not in name-calling, but as brothers and sisters in Jesus? Can we have the difficult conversations? Can we pray for reconciliation? Because right now, the hope of the gospel is the hope of the nation. The very message that the nation is scorning, the nation is mocking, that is the hope of the nation, and that's what America needs more than anything. Again, check out my article, All Lives Matter. Share it with others. Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest article. We come back, I'll get you your calls, and then anything you want to talk to me about, any question you want to ask me, we'll get your questions as well, right here.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Friday, so if you've got questions, we've got answers. Go to the phones now. Give me a call, 866-348-7884. Any question under the sun that you wanted to ask me, talk to me about, get clarification on, my joy to do my best to be of help to you. But I want to give you an opportunity first to weigh in what we've been talking about. And the statement I've been making that all lives matter and the unity we need to find now in Jesus as believers and as leaders in the body to help model a ministry of reconciliation and a ministry of understanding and a ministry that recognizes deep needs in many different parts of our society that only the gospel can truly address. 866-348-7884. We go to Richmond, Virginia. Craig, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
Good, good. I just want to weigh in a little bit on the topic, you know, and I guess I have more of a statement than anything. You know, and it's difficult right now as an African-American male that practicing Christianity. It's pretty difficult, you know, to watch the things that transpire and just really be joyful right now in the midst of all of it. I think we all know it's tough. You know, but I think one of the things that has to happen, you know, because there's no change that's going to come without challenge. It's going to be challenges, and we have to start by challenging ourselves to be different, to act different, to respond different, to take different measures and steps in order to eliminate the problems that persist. And the one challenge I have is going to be to the white Christian community, and that is simply this. You all can't be disengaged. Okay, you can't be disengaged. You got to be involved because we're your brothers and sisters. It's not we don't want to be in this alone. We want to know that it matters to you. You made a statement earlier, and I'm not charging you. I just want you to hear it from a black perspective.
Please,
you
please.
Said that when you said that, you know, these things happened, and you knew the outrage in the black community. Why not the white community as well? Why not the white community? It's not an outrage to see someone lose a son. Someone lose a daughter, someone lose a brother or sister. That should be an outrage to all Americans, period.
You're right.
Everybody, not just the black community.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, what happens with the white community, you all can sit on your sofas and lay on your bed tonight and say, gee, golly, wow, that's tough. But, you know, you go up the next day, you get out and you go about your business, and you don't, it doesn't concern you. I drive down the street, and it happened to me. I drive down the street. And I don't want to see blue lights behind me. I have been pulled for absolutely no reason. No reason whatsoever. Just because of a neighborhood I was driving in. No other reason. I wasn't speeding. I wasn't swerving. I had my seatbelt on. Nothing. I was pulled. Just doing a routine check. Really? You see, these are the things that we have to deal with. Many of you do not. So it's a different perspective. And I'm going to say this. This is tough, okay? Did this cop go rogue? Evidence suggests that he did. And evidence suggests that it's happened multiple times over and over and over and over again. And here is the thing. When I look at the white community, what I realize is this. These guys that go rogue, they're your brothers. They're your cousins. They're your sons. They're your nephews. They're your friends. They're your partners. They're somebody you know. And I think sometimes there are telltale signs about these people and their attitudes. And when you sit silent, you're complicit in the actions that they take. You're complicit in it. And so what I'm saying is that for the white community, you all, if it's important to say that this is the land of liberty, love, freedom, and all of that, then you can't sit silently. Mm-hmm. I listened the other day. Stu Epperson was on the radio, and he was giving a 4th of July address. And these are the types of things that we hear, and we hurt, and we shrug our shoulders. Why? He says that we have Christian brothers in Africa, in Asia, and other parts of the world that don't look like us, but we love them anyway. Who is us? You mean they're not blacks in America? Mm-hmm. They're not black Christians in America? Who is mm-hmm. us? Who is us? See, this is the thing that hurts, because it lets us know that you're detached. You're detached. You're removed from the problems. And we feel like we're suffering here alone. So, yes, there's anger. It's hard. You say you sit down at the table without attitude. You can't expect blacks to sit down at the table and not be disgusted, dissatisfied, and distrusting at this point.
Yeah, so Craig, yeah, let me just jump in. First, thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
This is the very reason the phone lines are open, okay, for calls like this. I mean that from the heart. And as I wrote in my article, I've learned a lot listening to African-American callers, because I've never been racially profiled. Okay, I've never been in that situation. So the only way I can understand it is by someone talking to me about it, because I haven't lived it, right? So that's why I ask the questions. That's why I say, let's make each other uncomfortable. That's why I mentioned earlier in the show, I posted the video from Minnesota on my Facebook page and said, this is absolutely awful to watch. And immediately, I saw responses, because I see the faces. I could see their African-American faces. They were saying, thank you for posting this, because it seems like white Christians don't care about these things when they happen. So my goal is not to prove that I'm somebody or super sensitive or anything, but I asked the questions in my All Lives Matter article, how do we respond to certain things? In other words, we have to ask ourselves, why does one thing grieve us and another thing doesn't? Is it only when it's someone I can relate to physically, or I can relate to ethnically, or I can relate to socially? So Craig, listen, I want you to continue to chat. When I say us, all right, I mean our listeners, because we've got from all backgrounds. And when you hear something that's spoken in a way, I don't mean that we get super sensitive and all this microaggression stuff. But yeah, if I'm speaking like a white American and I don't identify it as such, then, yeah, it could make it seem as if the only people that exist are white Americans. So, Craig, I welcome calls like this. I welcome your heart, your perspective. And look, I used the instance of the OJ trial years ago. To me, of course, he was guilty. There's no question. What I wondered was, why did so many black Americans question the courts, question the justice system? I said to myself, obviously, their experience with the courts and the justice system has been very different than mine. I need to find out why. I need to understand that. So that continues to be my heart. And it's only if people are going to be blunt. Like you said, we can't change without challenging each other. And someone may sit with you and challenge you, but today is the right day for you to challenge me and challenge other listeners. And I welcome the call, and I appreciate what you have to say. I've got a break coming up and I got phone lines jammed, but I wanted to give you as much time as possible. Thank you for calling mm-hmm. and speaking plainly. I appreciate it. If you got a last word, real quick, go ahead.
Yeah, it's simply this. I don't say these things out of hatred or anything. I appreciate and love you, Dr. Brown, for all that you do on the radio airways and how you help people with different perspectives and all of that. And I love the opportunity to come on. I'm just saying that it's time for everybody to get involved.
Yes, sir.
Everybody. Nobody can sit back and say it's not my problem anymore, because sooner or later it will continue to fester and grow and get worse.
No, it's our problem. It's our problem as believers. It's our problem as Americans.
Certainly.
And I hear your plea to the white community. Get engaged, because this is somebody's brother or son or husband. So thank you. Thank you for the call, and thank you for the kind words. All right, we're going to continue this discussion as long as we can.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Glad to be with you. This is a day of honest, candid interaction, one with another. I love what our previous caller said. If there's going to be change, we have to challenge each other. So let's do it. Let's do it. And nothing you say is going to offend me personally. And hopefully, if you disagree with a caller, nothing you say is going to offend that person personally. If we determine to listen to each other, to find out what one another's perspectives are, to find out how we understand and see the world, as we're both agreeing that we seek justice, that we seek equality, that we seek peace. So let's hear one another out. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Catonsville, Maryland. T, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brown, for taking the call. And I appreciate you having this very candid conversation. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I sort of was, and just happened, generally I'm working, I just happened to come across the program, and I'm just really glad that you're having this topic of discussion. I guess with regard to your Twitter questions,
yes.
I would absolutely say that institutionalized racism has shaped, molded, developed our country. And mm-hmm. for anyone who can honestly say that that's not the case is really delusional. I mean, it's written, you know, institutionalized racism is from every legislative or our beginning legislative bodies, and it just carried across all aspects of America. So the fact of the matter is, I guess if people are honest, and I was having a conversation with a Latino brother several years ago when Trayvon Martin was killed, and they said, if you're honest, what you need to do is really take a deep dive into American history. And then I want you to look and see where you find African Americans in that history. So if people are honest, then they will, you know, they could, I won't even say technically can come to the conclusion, but if people honestly take a deep dive into our history, then you actually literally can see, because the bottom line is within the last 50 years, African Americans, I mean, basic lynchings and things like that have always occurred. So, you know, the police, unfortunately, I have cousins who are police officers. I have people in my family who served in branches of military, X, Y, Z. But if you look at our history, even when you had African-Americans or at the time people who were enslaved or recruited into the military, they were promised freedom and things like that, and those things never occurred. They didn't follow through. So black people have always been patriotic to the country, to a country who is always segregated and denied us basic rights. So the fact of the matter is, if people are honest, and they do a historical perspective and a look, then you'll understand. The fact of the matter is, black men and women, when we fall in love and we have our families and we have our children, we love our children just like everyone else does. When our children are hurt, we cry, we're upset. You know, when things happen to our children, we're upset. So, you know, as the previous caller said, you know, unfortunately, white America really, really can't even identify with the level of pressure African Americans are under. And then this is my last thing that I'll say. If we're honest as Christians in America, why are there even two separate churches? Is there a black church and a white church? Because African Americans weren't allowed to worship with white folks, right? So let's just be honest. Let's be all the way honest. Let's
yep.
take all the stuff off. And, you know, let's do a deep dive. And I will be honest and say, you know, you have a people who are enslaved for years, people who have experienced traumatic events, get counseling. You know, if you have enough money, you get counseling, you get a support system, and you're still impacted. What type of psychological treatment have African Americans been offered in general?
Got it. And and let me just say, that even someone says, well, slavery, that ended in the 1800s. Well, that's segregation right up to the last generation, really, and still in some parts. But I have a couple of comments to what you said, T, but thank you for weighing in. Thank you.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
When I looked over at my screen a moment ago, every single caller on my screen was from Maryland, so I want to get to a bunch more Maryland calls, but wherever you are around America, this is your time to weigh in, 866-34-TRUTH. For the most part, I want to listen to what you have to say to one another and to me. I'll interact a little here and there. I just want to make this comment about churches and racially segregated churches. There may indeed be a history to it, blacks not allowed to worship together with whites, etc. I think there's another issue, though, because you have it with many ethnicities that we somehow like to worship together around an ethnic culture. You have Korean churches, you have Hispanic churches, you have other churches that are marked by a particular ethnicity and language. Sometimes it's a language issue. And other times it's just kind of a culture thing, that you have a culture that you share and you enjoy that culture together. But ultimately the goal is that the body is multi-ethnic, because that is the truth of our unity in Jesus. And if it just works out that our assembly is mainly one color or another, and there's nothing we can do to seemingly change that, then let's do our best to fellowship with one another across racial boundaries, across ethnic boundaries. It's spiritually enriching, and it stretches you as well in many ways, because cultures can be so, so different, and our ways of relating to one another and even to the Lord can be different. Within the family of God, we're talking about the horrific spate of shootings, the challenges this week that we're facing, and my theme, all lives matter. But I've said, let's speak truthfully to each other. Let's speak candidly to each other, even if we make each other uncomfortable. Can we do that? So let's go to Silver Spring, Maryland. Rukia, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. So I wanted to respond to your initial question, but also your last comment that, about how we worship as different races and ethnicities and things like that, and the groups that we worship with. I totally agree. I know I personally attend a church that is predominantly African American, but we welcome and have ministries now that are, that have been formed to encourage and welcome people of other races and cultures. And So those ministries end up growing. We have a thriving Spanish ministry where, people who speak native Spanish dialects and languages can feel comfortable, and more churches should have that to welcome people of other, races and cultures and everything. But yeah, a lot of people don't worship because they want to be segregated. They worship, with whites or with blacks because, they specifically want to do that. It's just that, that they go to the church where they feel comfortable and where maybe
and sometimes it's just the neighborhood. Right. Sometimes
exactly.
It's a neighborhood. Yeah, and by the way, the thing that's so interesting is that a lot of times what I might think is welcoming is not as welcoming to another culture. And, for example, one of my friends, a white pastor, was meeting with Hispanic pastors and African-American pastors in New York, and they were talking about, what's the most important thing to them when they gather together. And the white pastors is like, what's the bottom line? Let's get to the bottom line. What's the bottom line? Let's focus on that. For the African-American pastors, it was honor, making sure that there was proper honor, et cetera. And in the Hispanic community, it was, let's have a party. It's fellowship, let's have a party. Well, it was right after that I spoke for a friend, and I was, I think, the only white person in the church. So it was all African-American, basically. And I counted, I think the word honor was used 9 different times. And we want to honor our speaker. We want to honor our guests. We want to honor our visitors. And I was very conscious of it, and I thought, it is, in a white church, let's just get on with the service, man.
So, right. Exactly.
In other words,
so it's just a matter of different ways that people worship,
Exactly.
And, now to your, to the original reason why I called about, the question on, who's more to blame in this situation, first, if it's not already clear, I am an African-American woman, in the D.C. metropolitan area. And I think the experience that we have in this area, which is very multicultural and multi-ethnic, multiracial, might be different than what, you know, some of your other listeners who are in states or cities or areas that are, you know, less racially and culturally diverse, you know, maybe a little different. But, you know, I agree with the prior callers that the institutional racism in our country is predominantly to blame for, you know, if you can point a finger, it should be pointed there first. You know, I personally feel that the Black Lives Matter movement, which is a very relevant movement and organization, was formed because people of color, people, you know, African Americans, Black people, feel and felt like their lives didn't matter. And unfortunately, you know, although, you know, I respect you for your work and your contribution and everything, but I feel that among the non-colored community, let's put it that way, because color being encompassing African Americans and Asians and people of, you know, Latin descent and everything, in the non-colored community, what happens is, you know, people make this statement, all lives matter. We agree. But you know what? If those all lives, like if your white lives were being gunned down in the street, in their cars, pulling out their driver's licenses, things like that, it would probably be a different story. And having the statement, all lives matter, should not replace Black Lives Matter. Anyone that says all not lives matter should be able to say Black Lives Matter, Asian Lives Matter, Latino Lives Matter.
Let me just jump in and ask you one question, okay? I have worked together with other Black leaders because of the extraordinarily high percentage of abortions in the African-American community, and said that this is a Black genocide. And I've even written articles, Black Lives Matter, Beginning in the Womb. And then I have others that are outraged with me. They said, what about the fact that the vast amount of violence is not a white cop killing a Black man, but Blacks killing whites? And they'll give me all these massive stats. In other words, the feeling that there's no concern about white blood being shed. So I'm all with you. I 100% affirm what you're saying.
I feel like that's a misnomer, because when you look at it statistically, you know, predominantly white people kill white people. If you are married to a white woman and you get in a domestically tense situation and you kill her, she's your white wife who you've just killed. If you are a Latino person that works with other Latinos and you get angry with someone at work and you kill them, you know, if you're, most of the times when I've looked at the statistics, because I've researched this and kind of looked into it in a little bit more detail, and across the board, people tend to commit crimes against people that they're closest with. And that
are demographics work out like that.
Closest. Exactly.
Yep.
So to say, and plus, if someone chooses to have an abortion, you know, white people have an abortion too. So are Latinos, so are Asians. People are having abortions across the board. And I'm a strong proponent for life as a Christian, but I feel that trying to replace the conversation about people who are in positions of authority, like our police, killing people of color at a higher rate than they kill people who aren't of color, that is the topic, and that's what we should focus on.
Got it.
No one should try to change the subject and say, oh, well, if Black lives matter, they wouldn't kill each other in the street. If white lives matter, if all lives matter, you wouldn't have people going to, you know, races in Boston and shooting and bombing the place. You wouldn't have
Let me just jump in real quick and make two quick comments, okay? But thank you for sharing your heart. And thank you for, this is the very reason that the phones are open. And trust me, I'm not here to argue. I'm here to listen. Okay.
Yeah. No,
the only two comments I want to make real quick, and I've got a bunch of other folks to get to, but number one, when I bring up the issue of abortion in the African American community, I point out that this goes back to the eugenics of Margaret Sanger, that this goes back to a racial issue there, and that this to me is an assault on Black lives from another angle. So I'm not minimizing another. I'm standing with you and saying,
it's a cultural thing too, because if you look at the statistics, you will find more white young ladies that are on birth control. I know kids. I grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood, a Jewish neighborhood specifically in my county in Maryland, and there were more 12-year-olds on birth control than I've ever seen ever. I know people who I work with who put their daughters, their white daughters, on birth control at 12 and 13 years old, whereas in the black community, that is not as much of a practice. So, yes, you do unfortunately have younger people having abortions, maybe in the African-American community, and it's because of the cultural difference.
Yeah,
on birth control.
Yeah, the music's playing. I heard what you have to say. And again, my issue is to stand with, not to stand against. So thank you. Thank you for weighing in. Much appreciated. We'll be back to more calls on the other side of the break.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We're committed to having serious discussion, and if it makes one another uncomfortable, we'll do it. But I'm committed to listen carefully. Now, let me be totally candid. I absolutely affirm the cry that Black Lives Matter, and I grieve over social injustices. I grieve over apparent discrimination in the courts. I grieve over situations where it's clear that a police officer has killed an unarmed black man for no just cause. I grieve over the disproportionately high rate of abortion in the African-American community. At the same time, I find much of the rhetoric in among leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement to be unhelpful and unhealthy and exaggerated. For example, I can't agree with the hands up, don't shoot mantra when that's not what happened. So I may say something that offends you, but understand this as a friend and colleague, all right? The only thing I wanted to say to our last call that I didn't get to was that percentage-wise, in terms of the number of arrests among whites and among blacks, percentage-wise, blacks are not killed at a higher percentage than whites by police. Just wanted to mention that statistically. Doesn't downplay one act of injustice or 10 or 100, doesn't downplay any of that. All right, back to the phones. We go to Baltimore, Maryland. Victoria, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you for having me on, and thank you for your program.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So I did have an experience. I was driving, it was at night, and I have an Afro, I'm African-American, and I had my two teenage sons in the car with me, and two police officers pulled me over, and you can tell when a police officer came to the window, when he saw that I was a woman, you could see the shock on his face. And so he said, I just pulled you over because, you know, your taillight was out. And so he said, get it fixed, have a nice day. And so he left, and my son said to me, while we were driving off, Mom, your taillight is not out. And I'm like, really? He said it was. So when I got home, we checked it. And it was true. It was not out. Officer had lied. And so I think that we need to understand each other, where we all coming from. And that's why I appreciate your program. And I work with a white guy, a Christian, and he was talking about how his son works in Baltimore City to help, the inner city kids. And he made reference as, you know how they are. They have these issues and stuff like that. I had to stop them and say, wait a minute, I just went on a camping trip with a group of white kids because my daughter goes to school with them, and they have issues as well. It's that age,
you know?
And it's like, even as Christians, we don't get it.
You're right.
See that you have a problem, and it is a history of it, because as slaves or in the 60s or even more, we weren't considered human. And so that mindset still lingers on in the back of people's minds. And people don't know history. Black people don't even know their own history because it's not even taught that well in the school system. So I think we just don't, as Christians, we don't really know each other. We're not sitting down with each other. and I understand each other. In the back of my mind, we do have these prejudices.
Yeah, Victoria, and this is the way that we overcome them. We listen to each other, we expose blind spots, and we go to the Lord and ask for sensitivity and ask for insight. See, what I realized, and some callers helped me with, was that most of my African-American friends, co-workers in ministry and things like that that I work with in the States are much more integrated in different aspects of white society or conservative politics or different things like that than others might be, for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And their own view of the past is, hey, the past is past, it's all forgiven, we move on. Someone wrote to me and said, you know, Dr. Brown, consider this. If you go from the beginning of American history with slavery up until the end of segregation, that's the vast majority of African-American history. And you don't recover from that overnight. I thought, you know, that's a totally fair perspective that I'm missing, because people I'm with, they're like, hey, the past is the past, we move on. And it's just a forgiveness issue. But the fact of the matter is, it's much more complex than that. And again, where we make statements we don't even catch, like my you know, dear friend, radio host, a fine guy, a definite lover of people of all races, made a comment about people in other parts of the world may not look like us in Africa or something. He's, you know, as Craig, the first caller, said, who's us? It's like, okay, fair point. So those are the things that we don't catch. But then I have to be able to say, hey, here's what I find unhelpful in rhetoric from Black Lives Matter that I find unhelpful. So I want to stand in solidarity, but I find this unhelpful. And that's where we have the conversations. But thank you for calling, and thank you for being a listener. Much appreciated.
Right. Thank you.
God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Listen, some of you on hold for a while. I'm going to continue this discussion into the next hour. So if you can stay there, I want to get to as many calls as possible. We go to Oxon Hill, Maryland. Bernard, we've only got a couple minutes, so go for it, sir. Share your heart, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I ran across your program as I was driving along, and I thought that I have to respond to it.
Please.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. It seems to me, every time I hear this, All Lives Matter, it seems like people want to flip the script about Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter came about in response to how black males in particular is being gunned down in the street by police officers. Mm-hmm. So you can't really say All Lives Matter. See, Black Lives Matter came into being because of how black people was being treated. So that is exactly what it's response. That is what it's in response to. And being a black male, you know, I can see how the justice system is so perverted against black males. For the last 3 or 5 years, I've had probably a half dozen incidents where I have been unjustly accused or unjustly assaulted by the police. And when I go to the court system, all the court system do is dismiss the case. They don't actually charge the officer for wrongdoing. I am a veteran of the military, 22 years in the military. One of my greatest regrets is that I ever served in the military. Because I see now that the military, the police, and the court system is just a way to protect the ruling class people here in America. It's used to keep what they got and to get what they want. I would call upon all people of color to come out of the military and to come out of the police system, because it's a corrupt system that is directly waging war on black people. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Bernard. And hopefully you can keep listening. We've been having conversations like this for about a period of 8 years. And thanks for sharing your perspective. It's important to hear where you're coming from. Obviously, I agree with some of what you're saying, and I disagree with others. But I'm not here to argue. I'm here to let folks have their voice. So thank you, sir, for the call. And I do hope you're able to continue to listen as we point people to Jesus, the only hope of the nation. All right, friends, we're out of time. Go to the website, AskDrBrown.org. I'm going to keep this conversation going for another hour. Listen online at AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, we need Jesus. Otherwise, we are about to explode. The phone lines are open today on the Line of Fire, and I want to declare to you plainly, all lives matter.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There are some who say, when I make the statement, all lives matter, when I wrote an article last night, all lives matter, that is racist, that is downplaying Black Lives Matter, that is failing to respond to injustices against Black Americans, in particular against Black males. From my perspective, this is the way to say, yes, Black Lives Matter, but it is by working together, not by inflaming racial hatred in any direction, that we will overcome and bring unity. And I wrote the article last night, grieved. It was not until very late last night that I saw the news of what had happened in Dallas. And I had already posted, the day before that I had posted the video from Minnesota where a woman sits in the car next to her boyfriend who's just been shot to death by police. I had posted that on Facebook. So it's not that I'm only responding to one issue. And those of you who've been listening to me on the radio for years know that we're constantly addressing all of these issues candidly and saying, let's speak to each other, let's communicate to one another honestly and clearly. Even if it makes us uncomfortable, let us do it. Let us do it. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. But let me just say this. I saw headlines after the sniper shootings in Dallas that said Blue Lives Matter. And earlier in the week, headlines were shouting Black Lives Matter. And I felt as a follower of Jesus, I must shout out all lives matter. And it is only by coming together and by listening to each other and by working together, followers of Jesus, somehow we've got to set the example. We've got to set the example. Show me my blind spots. Show me what I'm missing. Show me where there are biases or prejudices in my heart. Allow me to do the same for you. And then let's go to the Lord and say, God, we only want your best. We only want your will. God, help us to be ambassadors of reconciliation and peace and stand together for justice. Can we do that? Are we willing to do it? It's not always easy. I've had great calls the first hour. Our last caller just tuned into the show, so I don't know where he's coming from, if he's a follower of Jesus or not. But he's a Black man who said he served in the military and regrets that he did and called for all Black Americans to get out of the military and to get out of the police force, so that they're corrupt institutions that just want to keep the ruling class in power. I differ with his perspective, but obviously he has a reason for sharing it. We want to find out why. So the phone lines are open, 866-348-7884. And if phone lines are jammed, just keep trying to get back to us when you call. We'll do our best to get to as many calls as possible. And on the other side of the break, because we've got a short time, I don't want to cut anyone short, we're going to start in Texas, actually, with Denise and Kenneth. And we heard from a ton of folks, just so happened, from Baltimore, Virginia area earlier today. But, of course, we want to hear from you from around the country. 866-348-7884. And in my article, All Lives Matter, which you can read by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on latest articles, I say we've got to ask the questions. Is it true that Black males are discriminated against in the courts and are unfairly targeted by police? Is there still systemic racism in America, as many have argued? Conversely, is there hypocrisy in the Black Lives Matter movement, as prominent Black athlete Ray Lewis has argued, since the vast majority of Black deaths are at the hands of other Blacks? Is it true that some police officers are trigger happy, especially when dealing with Blacks? Or do these officers have just cause to fear for their lives? What about the charge that there's only concern when there is white on Black violence as opposed to Black on white violence? Is there any truth to that? What about each of us? Do we respond publicly only when someone of our own skin color or ethnicity or religion or affiliation suffers an apparent injustice?
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. We are committed to having the difficult conversations on this broadcast. We have been committed to doing that now for 8 years, and we will continue to learn from each other. So I just want to encourage you, when I get you on the air, speak candidly, all right? Speak candidly, honestly, because we're here to listen and to interact, not to attack one another. So we go to Houston. Denise, thanks so much for holding over from last hour. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Haven't talked to you in a couple of months. And let me first preface everything by saying what I'm about to say is probably not going to be well received. And I understand that. I am African American. I'm a female, even though I have a very deep voice. I'm a female. And I think it is time for us as African Americans to own the criminality in the black community. We cannot just sit by and say it's the cops' fault. They're profiling us. Well, they're profiling black males because of the crime in our community. That's why it's happening. I agree there's profiling. I absolutely agree. There sure is. There is profiling of black males. But when you look at the news every night, and the first 10 minutes is telling you about a black male who killed someone, who robbed someone, who raped someone, it gets into the back of your mind that these are people I have to watch out for. And the cops are just like everybody else. They see a black male, and they remember that, oh, yeah, there's criminality in this environment. There's criminality in this neighborhood, and I have to be on guard. And it's time for black people to own it that among our black men, there is a criminal element, and it is due largely in part to the breakdown in the black family. We'd like to gloss over it. A lot of people don't even want to hear about it. When Bill Cosby was held in high esteem several years ago, and he made comments about the black family and what was going wrong, people almost annihilated him with negative comments because he was airing dirty laundry. And we have got to stop that. That's really all I have to say.
Yeah, Denise.
And as far as black lives matter, I cannot support them. I cannot support it when the only time a black life matters is when they're killed by a white police officer. The blood is flowing in the streets of Chicago of black children who have been killed by other blacks. And not one time do you see Black Lives Matter coming out, going to that mother's house, and saying, your child's life matters. It only matters if you're killed by a white person. And that's abhorrent.
So, Denise, of course, Ray Lewis, the famous Baltimore Ravens football player, put out a video saying that very thing, that he found hypocrisy in the Black Lives Matter movement. And I cited that as a question that needed to be asked in my article. So here's my larger question for you, Denise. I agree with your perspective. And in fact, unfortunately, when there isn't racial profiling, the crime rate seems to go up, and then you end up with more people dead in the very community that you want to protect and defend. But then, of course, with racial profiling, you get the incidences, as other callers alluded to in the first hour, law-abiding citizens that happen to be black males get pulled over for no good reason and may get treated in a discriminatory way in the court. So there are other issues to deal with. I agree with everything you're saying. My bigger question is this. The breakdown of the family, had that happen? And is it solely the responsibility of the African-American community, or is this a joint national problem that we have? Is the welfare system, the way that was set up, is that another way to keep people down rather than a way to help people? So I agree that the biggest problem is the breakdown in the family. My only perspective as a white American is it's a problem that's shared because somehow this is our national problem. I don't think the breakdown in the black family happened in a vacuum. In my own view, I just don't have the solutions to the larger issue, but I believe it's an issue that all of Americans need to face together. So what's your take on that?
Well, I have long said to other people that the welfare system is an absolute disaster. It has been a disaster for the black family. I do not believe in my heart of hearts that Lyndon Baines Johnson, who created that system, I do not believe in my heart of hearts that he did it for the sole purpose of breaking up the family or hurting black people. I do not believe that. But that was the result. And we have black leaders who are always going around talking about what the government can do. The government cannot solve the problem that's going on. It is a heart problem, a condition of a Christian. The government cannot solve this.
Yep.
I agree with some of the other individuals that blacks and white Christians need to come together and fall on our face before God, admit that we have sinned, and then work together to resolve some of these issues that are going on in the inner city. Because sooner or later, what goes on in the inner city will go out to the suburbs.
Yeah.
And so eventually it will impact whites and anybody else out there.
Yeah, and even that...
It's not a government issue.
Yeah, I'm again, Denise, I'm totally with you on that. I just feel it's important, while affirming that, yes, the breakdown of the family is the greatest issue and the greatest problem, it has not happened in a vacuum. And somehow we need to work together as Americans from every ethnicity and color. And, yes, get on our face and say, God, we need help. This is our problem. Even if nothing in the inner city ever touched the suburbs, this is our problem as Americans, and all the more as fellow believers in Jesus. And it's grievous. I don't know that there are easy solutions. A young man that I worked out with today, a white brother, is working with, and is he an Indian brother, I think? But they've got this amazing prison ministry, and he was telling me the stats of children of prisoners, how many of them end up in prison themselves. So that what they're doing is they're targeting the kids of prisoners, the kids of convicts, reaching out to them with the gospel, bringing them to a place of wholeness and discipleship. Then they in turn are ministering, especially to their dads in prison and things like that. And they're seeing some generational breakthroughs. But somehow, as the body of Christ, we need God's wisdom to address these problems. They are our problems together. Hey, Denise, thank you for weighing in. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Waco, Texas. And here we go. Kenneth, welcome to the Line of Fire. Go for it, please.
Dr. Brown, thank you for taking my call, and I just praise God for what you're doing today. I myself am Mexican-American. Doesn't mean I know exactly what it's like to be African-American or a member of any other group. But I certainly feel a sense of solidarity with African-Americans and as well as other minority groups, including the Jewish people and Asian-Americans. I'm also politically conservative, and I'm working on my doctorate in sociology. And my personal biases, of course, actually make me favor when conservative lay people are right and liberal scholars are wrong. But looking at research on race in America over the past 100 years, I can't say that's what's going on now. It really does seem consistent that we're finding racial biases in the job market, when it comes to promotions, when it comes to getting hired, when it comes to sentencing rates, and yes, when it comes to police violence. There's a really interesting study by Cody T. Ross people can read that talks about the shooting of unarmed black Americans. And of course, in the abortion industry, the research is really clear there about the racism too, which is equally upsetting to me. Now, my question is, I'm seeing my Christian brothers and sisters, they fight alongside with me on issues of morality, like abortion, sexual immorality. But for some reason, when racism comes up, a lot of them are then saying, oh, well, we'll just have to wait till the Lord comes back. Or, yes, but we can't, you know, ask for any government intervention, or we shouldn't address this as a societal issue because it's culture, and we just have to think about sin. And in my opinion, it sounds like they're taking moral issues but not addressing them consistently. So on abortion, they sound like me, but on the issue of racism, it sometimes sounds like they're addressing abortion like a liberal seminarian would, in a kind of weasel around way. I'm wondering, am I being unfair here, or do you think that's a fair criticism?
No, it's a fair criticism to the extent you run into it. Hey, why do you think I'm having a show today if I don't think we can make progress? It's not just to fill airtime, right? As you understand, it's because these that's why we're on the air, to bring a kingdom perspective to what's happening in society. And my call in my All Lives Matter article is for the body of Christ to lead the way. So I remain committed to sitting, to talking. I minister around the world, and this helps my perspective some. I've spent a few years of my life cumulatively outside of America in many, many different cultures, and you constantly have to realize, okay, the American perspective is one perspective, the American Christian perspective, the American white perspective, you know, that whatever background you have as a Jew, I have unique perspectives. So I'm constantly trying to listen and learn and understand and see the differences and see blind spots. But without question, sir, we have an answer in the gospel. I don't think that the solution is going to be found in the government, but I believe the solution is going to be found grassroots, people of God, working together against racism wherever we find it, working together against injustice. We can make a difference.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you've not read my article, All Lives Matter, please do so. Just take you a couple of minutes to do it. AskDrBrown.org. Click on latest article. I begin by saying after the fatal police shooting of two more black men in Louisiana and Minnesota earlier this week, headlines blared, Black Lives Matter. Now after the fatal sniper shooting of five police officers and the wounding of seven others, headlines blare, Blue Lives Matter. As Americans, we must come together and declare that all lives matter regardless of color, ethnicity, social, or social status. Every life is precious in God's sight and must therefore be precious in our sight as well. Together we must condemn all acts of cold-blooded murder. We are having the uncomfortable conversations today. We have heard from a wide variety of perspectives, and many callers extremely respectful, wanting to share a perspective that might challenge my own, and this is the day for it. My goal here is not to get in an argument or win a debate. My goal is to allow you to voice your feelings, just as I get to on the air and as I get to in writing articles. I want to give you an outlet to express your feelings, not just to vent frustration. We can do better than that, but to share a perspective that maybe not everyone has. Maybe that comes directly from your own unique background. Hey, to be candid, when we've had a policeman call in, that's been tremendously helpful as well to get that perspective on a conversation. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Baltimore, Maryland. Jason, welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks so much for holding.
Hey, Dr. Brown, thank you very much for taking my call. I really enjoy your ministry, and it's really blessed me a lot. This is, as an African-American man, this is kind of a difficult place to be. But I think it's an opportunity really to call, I think men to Christ. That is the only, he is the only answer. Christ is the only answer. I've thought about this question for a long time. Why this racism? The only answer that I really got came out of the Bible. That's another call to action to every man that's listening to this, to the broadcast. Get a Bible and read it. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, if I could just quote a couple scriptures mm-hmm. real quick. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. This worldly point of view, if we're all brothers and sisters, and everybody uses the term for brothers and sisters, if we truly believe that we are brothers and sisters, that's coming from the Bible. Worldview-based, that's coming from Christ. That's coming from God himself, who created us male and female. That's not the world's point of view. We're not brothers and sisters to the world. In God, we are brothers and sisters. Through Christ, mm-hmm. we are brothers and sisters. Verse 18 says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation isn't going to come any other way except through Christ. I was wondering if you could voice your opinion on that, or am
yeah,
I wrong
that's...
on that?
That's no, Jason, I believe that there are people of goodwill who are not followers of Jesus, who want to bridge racial divides and who want to do right. But ultimately, the church must lead the way here. We must be the ones to model unity. We must be the ones to show a passion for justice. We must be the ones to cry out to God for grace and for biblically based solutions. That's what I appeal for at the end of my All Lives Matter article. And what I say is this, we must do everything in our power not to capitulate to anger or to fear, not to allow racial or class tensions to escalate, not to combat perceived violence with intentional violence, and not to turn this week's tragedies into a political football. Otherwise, there'll be a river of blood flowing across this nation. Those of us who are leaders in the church must set the example, having the difficult conversations, challenging one another's perspectives, calling on the mercy of the Lord and being God's prophetic voice in a fallen society, as well as his agents of redemption and reconciliation. Right now, America needs our help. And yes, calling all Christian men in America to listen to one another, to come together, to put aside racial divisions, which only exist in our minds, because in fact, they don't exist in God, as you're pointing out. We're one in Jesus and all created in the image of God. And we've somehow got to bring healing and hope and reconciliation. So I'm with you totally. Thank you for the call, and thank you for reading the scripture to us. God bless you. Appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Boston, Massachusetts. India, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Bob. Brown. Sorry, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
The question was, who or what is responsible for today's racial tension? Was that the question you stated?
Yeah, you're right at the beginning of the first hour. I put this out, and I put it out on Twitter. Who or what is primarily responsible for today's racial tensions? And I can only get in four choices on Twitter for my poll. So I gave these choices: white police brutality, the Obama administration, Black Lives Matter, systemic USA racism. And of course, you could say anything other than that, but that was the question. Can we identify who or what is primarily responsible for today's racial tensions?
Yes. And from a Christian perspective, I believe that it's Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Satan is behind. It's a spirit. And
yeah.
It's a spirit of hate. And when he can get into that door through the cops, through our black men, through anybody, he's going to rule. So, yes, you're right. As far as believers go, we should all be praying. We should all be on our faith. We should all lay before God for the answer, for the solution, getting instruction from him on what to do about these tragic crimes, or what's happening amongst, the black community. It's predominant upon the black community, but it's happening everywhere. But it seems like every time you turn on the news, that it's a young black man getting shot by the cops. Or, maybe it's even black men shooting black men. But it's still, Satan is behind it all, because it tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So he doesn't care who he's using. He doesn't care how he's doing it. That's my answer to, your question. That's what's behind it. It's hate. And if he can use hate, then there you go.
It's a powerful tool. India, I could only list four choices, but my other choice obviously was going to be it's spiritual. Now, it doesn't mean there's not responsibility. Of course, you're not saying that, no way, but you're saying that behind it there's a devil who is a murderer, there's a devil who's a divider. So in Jesus, we must do better. We must put down the hatred, the anger, the divisions, and find true unity in Jesus and bring hope to the nation. Thank you for calling. We'll be right back.
The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the line of fire, where we are committed to having the difficult conversations, to making one another uncomfortable, to challenging one another's perspectives and biases, as we welcome in our great stations in Dallas, Texas, greater Dallas, Fort Worth areas. We welcome many of our listeners to the broadcast now. We've been having these difficult conversations for the last hour and a half. As I read headlines earlier in the week, Black Lives Matter, headlines late last night, Blue Lives Matter. We are a nation in mourning and a nation that is shaking right now. What I'm proclaiming is that all lives matter, and it must begin in the body of Christ, where we listen to one another, not talk past each other, take the time to enlighten one another to our different background perspective, expose blind spots, say things that are not politically correct, stand together against injustice and inequality. I'm committed to doing that. I've been committed to doing that for years now. And by God's grace, that's what we continue to do. Phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Richmond. All right. We've had some folks holding for a while. Hopefully we can get to as many as possible. Let's go to Bruce. Bruce in Monroe, North Carolina. You are on the air.
Oh, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
I was having a discussion over this very subject with a neighbor here.
Yeah, please.
We had a caller a little earlier, and she was right on point, the black young lady that called. I'm a black male also. The difference between me and her is I was a career law enforcement officer. And a lot of things she said was true, and a lot of these games that are being played, it's wrong for everybody listening out there. Two things. All lives matter. That has nothing to do with these movements. And you talked in the scriptures, because I think it's in Ecclesiastical Galatians 1 where he tells you he wants you all to repent so that all can live. That's what Jesus asked. They want all to live, so all lives matter. So if we're going to ask this question, do black lives matter? Matter to who? It's obvious they don't matter to the black community because that's who's killing them. That's where most of our killings come from, our community. Next after that, I guess, is what? Our white people in the world? But when there's trouble and there's problems going on and there's shooting in the neighborhood, who is rushing to save those people who's being shot at? The police. So who do Black Lives Matter to? It matters to the police. I guess I was a prejudicial cop because 98% of the people I arrested were black. But then 95% of the people in the town were black. And most of the white people that I arrested for drugs were white only because that's what it was coming into town for drugs.
Mm-hmm.
The problem we have out here today is we keep using this word racial profiling. There are three types of profiling, and everybody needs to, hold on 1 second, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Everybody needs to understand the profiling. You have what's called self-preservation profiling, you have racial profiling, and then you have the wrong one, prejudicial profiling. Let me give you the example so people can understand. If you walk out to your car from the mall at 10 o'clock at night, there's two guys standing next to your car at the other end of the parking lot that got on hoodies. Well, you're going to stop and just take a look, see what's going on before you just walk over there. But they could be over there changing the tire of a car. But because it didn't look right or the scene didn't look right, that's called self-preservation profile. You follow me?
Yep.
So now, I'm on patrol and I'm in the projects. All black, but I see a white guy at 1:15 in the morning, pulls up to one of the buildings where they're selling. He gets out, he walks over to the building, comes out a minute later. Now, typically, what does that sound like?
Drugs.
Uh-huh. So I go over to him, I pull him over, and I said, driver's license registration, why are you over here? My friend Bobby lives in apartment 2C. He couldn't come into work tonight, and I needed the flash drive for his computer. I came and picked it up, and this is it here. Everything turned out fine. But because he was white in the drug area at night, the black, it was his race being white.
That's stay right there. I got a break. Stay right there. I want you to finish these categories when we come back. All right? And then I'll get you as many calls as possible. Stay right there. Thank you.
Fire we want, for fire we please. Stand in the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for participating in the broadcast today. Amazing calls, people speaking candidly about the difficult issues we're facing in society today. We are committed to do that as followers of Jesus. Before we get back to Bruce in a moment, African-American, career law enforcement officer, as he was explaining the nature of profiling and different dimensions of it, I just want to remind you, friends, that I'll be speaking in the Greensboro, North Carolina area Sunday and Monday of this week together with my friend and colleague, Dr. Alex McFarland, Standing with Courage, Compassion, and Clarity Conference. We're going to be tackling the tough moral issues at Life Community Church in Jamestown, Sunday morning, 10:30, Sunday night at 6, Monday night at 7:30. So for all the details, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and you'll see the itinerary there. All right, Bruce, sorry to cut you off with the break, but you were explaining the different types of necessary profiling that are done, of logical profiling that are done, both as individuals and then what a policeman would do. So back to you, sir.
Okay. So those are the ones that everybody use prejudice, they use racial profiling, and what they want to express is what's called prejudicial profiling. Mm-hmm. That's the same scenario that I gave you, where a white guy pulls up in the car, gets out, walks to the building. Now I get out and go right over there and start asking, what you doing over here? What are you over here for? Putting your hands up. So that's prejudice. That's just because he's white, I'm doing that. But that is not what you would call proactive policing.
Got it.
Racial profile is a form of proactive policing that has to be done. Even if you reverse it to a white officer in a white neighborhood, the guy's car could have broke down. But when things don't look right, mm-hmm. when things don't look right, you have to look at the situation. And color does play a role. And then the other thing I wanted to bring to you, these people are always hearing this word about being a Christian. And this is for everybody out there that likes to holler about being a Christian. You need to get into your scriptures, okay? Because, yes, you believe in God. You believe in his Lord and your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, that's called faith. But there's a lot more to it than faith. And the scripture tells you faith without the works means believing I'm a Christian, saying I'm a Christian, going around telling people you're a Christian, and not doing what Jesus Christ asked you to do. Faith without works, Mr. Brown, is what?
Dead.
Thank you. If you're not doing what he told you as a Christian, you're not a Christian. You're a wannabe. And that's yep. for everybody out there who likes to holler, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christ. I believe in that. You better read the scriptures because there is some work that is involved with it. Now, all that stuff that's going on with all these protests and all this stuff and everything, all I know is 911, we were called. We couldn't get into the city. It got too bad. But I don't recall any soldiers. Now, I'm a military brat. I'm not disrespecting the soldiers in no way, shape, or form. But I've been in a situation where it has been 8 of us cops and 275, 300 people fighting. And I never saw nobody from the military show up. Hmm. Every time something happens, the military, yes, keeps people safe abroad. But for all people who's listening, who keeps you safe on this ground that you walk on are the police, not the military. Oh, they're shooting over there. Call the military base. No, you call the police. Hmm. And you know something about being a police officer in this country? When I pull my gun out, I might have to shoot a fellow American. Everybody that went to Iraq was over there shooting people from another country they didn't know.
Wow.
Which I don't agree to killing and doing all that and everything. But you got to understand, I know who keeps this country safe. It's not the military. They're the backup. You call us. Then people say, well, the police look quasi, they look like the military. They're all like military troopers. The police are a quasi-military unit. Look at the ranks. Corporal. Sergeant, captain, lieutenant, chief, those are the same ranks that's in the military. All the weapons that the police have, extra weapons, you know, come from the military. Why?
Right.
You got 3,000 people protesting. Where are you going to get 2,000 cops? No, but you're going to give the cops enough firepower and protection to handle those people. That's
right.
The way the world works. Everything you see those police officers with, the attorney general, and the police commissioner of the state okayed for departments to have those weapons that people are complaining about. But the same people that do all that complaining, the minute something happens, they're the first ones that want to call 911.
Yep.
And what I noticed the other night, everybody was jumping around, talking, milling. No violence. But I saw some people with a little shouting and doing all that. But when the shots rang out, The police did what they did. They ran towards the shot. The people did what they do, ran away, waiting for the police to fix it again.
Yeah, and Bruce, listen, I appreciate your service. I appreciate your passion. I appreciate you calling out Christians to live like Christians. Because, yeah, if all the people going to church and professing to be Christians are really Christians, America would look a very different, very differently if we were living things out. We've got to hear these perspectives. We've got to hear these perspectives. And here's a perspective that a black cop can bring. We need to hear it loud and clear. Sir, the one thing I never thought of in terms of army versus police, the idea that, you may have to shoot a fellow American, it's obvious, just something that I never processed in terms of the challenges that you'd face contrary to the unique challenges of a soldier. Thank you for calling. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Greensboro, North Carolina. Aaron, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
Giving honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As usual, Doc, I thank God for you, man, and everything that you stand for in Christ and what you do for the body, man. You know, as a young man, 24 years old, you know, in this world today, as which really doesn't matter, but as an African-American, you know, watching a lot of people in my age group's reaction to this is, it's kind of frustrating, Doc. And the reason why is because everybody wants to spark up movements for the wrong reason, but they're really not doing anything. You know, you're doing all this talking and all this posting. I mean, you know, rest in peace to the guys who have been done wrong, and it's wrong. You know, that's a fact that it's wrong. But to try to spark a movement and support different movements like Black Lives Matter, when you really don't know the reasoning behind why these movements were even started, you know, my perception of it is Black lives only matter when they can be used as propaganda in the media to distract you from what's really going on in the world. And it's just like, how do you not see that? You know, I mean, that's just, and it frustrates me because it's just like, if you're going to do something about it, do something about it. You know, and like, you know, like everybody's been saying before me, a lot of the callers and even you, all lives matter. You know, so stand up for not only the people who, because if you look at the statistics, more white people get killed by cops than black people every year. That's a fact. That is a hard fact that people don't realize. And so it's just like, I try to question people. Why do you think the people in the media, like, you know, whoever's over the media, why do you think they're spotlighting you? They want you to react this way. They want people to go sniping cops for no reason. You know, and it's just like, as a black man, when I hear about these things happening, I question people. Well, why do you would wonder why? Well, I see why they're targeting us then, because you're feeding into this mess. Stop feeding into it. And if you're gonna do something the right way. You know, I mean, it goes back to the classic phrase, man. I mean, what would Jesus do in this situation?
Yeah.
You know, I think people really need to start asking themselves. You know what? Not what Black Lives are going to do, Black Lives Matter is going to do, not what is this president is going to do, what would Jesus do in this situation? And how can I apply that to what I have going on today to make a difference in this world? Because, you know, I mean, you know, me personally, you know, I hear so much, man, and like I said, it really does frustrate me, man, because it's just like, dude, like, look at the bigger picture. I mean, the bigger picture is this world is slowly, but not even slowly, we're moving closer and closer to Jesus coming back, you know, and instead of us, you know, thinking that we're making a difference, but really being stagnant by posting all these different things on media or pray for this person or pray for this country or Black Lives Matter, post scriptures, go hard for Jesus Christ.
And Aaron, I just got to jump in here. The key thing is there is injustice. There are problems. There are massive problems. Can we bring something constructive to the table? That's the big question, isn't it? Can we bring something constructive? And can we bring, as you're saying, can we bring the gospel to bear to bring about constructive change? Thank you for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to the West Indies. Morris, welcome back to the Line of Fire.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Brown. And it's a pleasure always listening and speaking with you. Yesterday, when I saw this on the news with the two killings of the young people of African descent, I could identify with it because here in Trinidad, the police are basically involved in similar situation. And I cried when I saw the woman streaming the with the police and the her boyfriend that was killed in the car. I cried. Dr. Brown, as a pastor, I cried because why? I realized that something has gone wrong, and that I told my wife, I said that, you know, this is going to stir up problems. And before the night finished, I saw it on the television. Now, one of the things is that the Bible in Ecclesiastes...
Tell you what, stay right there, sir. We've just got a break. We'll be right back. And Randy, Winston-Salem, I want to get you next. Harry, Des Moines, stay right there.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. As we continue to hear from you, our listening audience, 866-34-TRUTH. So just want to give you another minute to finish up in Trinidad, West Indies. Pastor Morris, welcome back to the Line of Fire. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Dr. Brown. You see, I was saying that in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 12 says, when the sentence against an evil work is not carried out speedily, the heart of men is set in them to do evil. And this is what we are seeing when injustice, whether in the court or wherever it is perpetrated, then you find because judgment, justice is not going forth. And we have seen, you know, the different killings in the different places in the United States. Now, Dr. Brown, pastors, police, or the military, or politicians, all of these different people are held to a higher standard. We are expected to be held at a higher standard than the criminal element. The Bible says the law is for the lawless. So we expect the lawless people to act that way, and then we deal with them in such a way that we can bring them. But the police cannot be going about and executing people, and, you know, taking justice in their own hands. The court system is there for that purpose. So I just wanted to, you know, to say that, you know, that we all need to realize that, you know, because of man's condition, and because of what the Bible says about man's condition is desperately wicked, the heart of man is desperately wicked, and the heart of man is even desperately wicked. And because of that, who knows it but God? And what is required is for, as you rightly said, you know, bringing all of these discussions to the table and discussing it honestly and working to see how we can bring about the relevant changes that is needed. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity, and God bless you, sir.
You're welcome. I appreciate it and appreciate that we can air this broadcast in the West Indies to all of you listening. Thanks so much. In Winston-Salem, Randy, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yeah, pleasure. I want to hurriedly go through what I think is some of the problems we have created has caused this. India said about Satan, she's right, and it's a systematic problem, which I'll explain. And also, I like Denise's comments. It's good to see that blacks and whites who are really concerned with this can get on a talk show like this and comment. And as the Bible says, if two assemble, we can be in one accord here. We are not a Christian nation, as our president and our politicians have said. We've gone away from it. And I think the problem, reason we've gone away from it, and maybe God's timetable, like say, because in Matthew, he said this generation will not pass away before he returns. But our preachers, not politicians, are the problem. Back when Billy Graham preached in the 50s and 60s, he preached sin, hell, and heaven. And we don't have that anymore. Most churches have gone to one service per week, and it's really just a social club. It's not really preachers that are preaching the Word of God. They really don't care about anything but money and numbers. We can also look at what happened, and we talked about Lyndon Johnson, but again, I don't believe he meant for it to become what it has. But we do have certain parts in office, certain politicians that want to keep the blacks down. That's the reason they come up with all these programs, so that they can buy their votes, so that they can keep themselves in power. They don't. They do not want that. So that's the reason we're having so much strife. More money in programs is not the answer. We can very well see that from the 60s on. I was born in the 50s. I've seen exactly what we have evolved to. Also, I'd like to go back. You're talking about the church. And the church is the, if you want to say answer, but what is the church? Who is the church? Is it a denomination? Is it, what is it? But I know the church I go to is a fundamental Baptist church. And we pick up over 500 riders a week. We have picked up as many as 1,200 this year. And we're a mixed. We have mixed couples. We have blacks in our service. We have anyone that wants to come, Hispanic. And that's another thing. Where's the black churches and the whites in their congregation? What happens when the politicians come and go to the black churches? The white politicians, and they want to stir up. Because that's exactly what they're doing, and trying to get those people to say, hey, we have the answer.
Yeah, and just to jump in other words, a lot of the government programs which are meant to help those that are poor in the inner city ultimately create a cycle of greater poverty and greater dependence on the government. Is that a way to keep people down? The bottom line, we must come together as followers of Jesus, listen to each other, and say, here's how we do reconciliation in the gospel. Here's how we fight against injustice in Jesus. So thank you for the call. Adele in Charlotte, time is really short, but if you could dive right in, go for it.
Well, I just want to say that Bruce and the young man after him and the pastor from Trinidad, I think they should all be put on megaphones to shout across the country what they said, especially the police officers. I want a perspective, and so he said it so clearly. I just wanted to add that the way that I try to accomplish Christ's love in my little world is I ride the buses. But God took my car, and I could never understand why, but he's really given me a very small but sweet ministry. It's the kind of a thing where I'm usually the only white person on the buses, and people are irritated, people are tired, people are hurting. You ride all kinds of buses to all kinds of places. You've even got places where you go down to, you know, the more affluent parts of Charlotte, and people still, once you talk to them and you see that they're down, and you just say, I'm sorry you're feeling down today. And they open up and talk, and you begin to see that their families are falling apart, and you pray for them. And you help out, like pick a bottle up that somebody dropped in the bus, or sometimes...
Yeah, and Adele, hang on. I've just got to jump in. I know you have much more to share. But getting involved with people's lives, whether the same color, different color, doesn't matter. Getting involved with other people's lives and saying, I care because God cares, makes a massive difference. Thank you, Adele, for calling. Sorry, we have to run. Friends, I want to thank you for making the broadcast what it was today. I want to thank you for weighing in. I want to thank you for raising challenging perspectives and challenging me personally. I love it. I appreciate it. I want to thank you all for your candor. And as Adele said, we need to shout this out through megaphone to the country. That's what we're doing on these airwaves, and we're doing it with your help. So thank you for standing together with us. This whole broadcast, you can listen to all 2 hours. Just a couple hours from now, it'll be online. Just go to AskDrBrown.org and click on Line of Fire. You'll be able to listen to today's broadcast. I encourage you to take the time to do it. These are conversations we need to have. And remember, I look forward to seeing you this weekend in Greensboro, actually Jamestown, right near Greensboro, Life Community Church. I'll be ministering together with Alex McFarland Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night. All the info, the itinerary is on my website, AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, we are all created in God's image. Jesus died for all of us. Those who know him must declare that unity to the world.